For our scripture reading today, we're going back to that passage of Proverbs that Jesse began to read, and we're picking it up at verse 10, under the title here, The Woman Who Fears the Lord. And it's about a woman, but about a very special woman in various ways. We want to look at that. So verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, where he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Oh Lord God, you are great and gracious, powerful and mighty, and yet you stoop down to be near unto us. You have called us into your presence, and you have made us your temples that you would dwell within us. You have gathered us as a people, that you would dwell among us. We thank and praise you. And we pray, Lord, that we might grow in stature and in wisdom as our Lord Jesus did when he walked on earth. And we pray that you would bless us with your word and your spirit in this day, that we would grow together in the wisdom of your truth, in the wisdom that starts in the fear of the Lord, apart from which there is none. We ask, Lord, that you would grant the power of your Spirit to be upon us in this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus, most of us will celebrate Mother's Day today in one way or another. Our choice of text comes also with that in mind somewhat. I have been guilty at times in the past of ignoring the special day that we were remembering in the preaching, and found it was not the best way to go. Make use of these things. They're helpful. And I willingly do that. In Proverbs 31, we just read about an amazing woman. The text talks about her husband and children praising her. Now, it might be that some women and girls look at this and ask themselves why the Bible seems to stereotype women so much. Here she is doing all these domestic things. She's not even dreaming about being the first woman of the United States, and there's no AK-47 anywhere in the whole passage. On the other hand, it might also be that a lot of women and girls look at this and practically despair of being a woman who fears the Lord? Because that's what it looks like. How many of the women here read this text at least once a week, or maybe every morning, and rev up their engines? I doubt it. But there are a couple of things to keep in mind here as we look at this. First of all, it's well argued that the woman here is a personification of wisdom. She is what wisdom herself looks like if she were a married woman with children in that culture and context. The whole book of Proverbs is about wisdom, and this is the last section. This is the last piece. This is the summary of the book of Proverbs. What is wisdom? Well, we might say wisdom is the practical outworking of the fear of the Lord, of God's grace in our lives. And in that light, this woman is perfection itself. She is the ideal. These are manners of life to strive for, to pray about. And they're not just for women. That's where you'll have to struggle to grasp this whole thing, just as I struggle to really grasp how to bring it together. These things pertain in some ways particularly to women, but the passage is intended to say as much to men about what it means to honor the Lord as it does to women. Especially that the work of our hands is to be dedicated to the Lord, redeemed by the blood of the Spirit and His Lamb, restored to His service. That is wisdom. When with the work of our hands, the work of every day, we honor God. That is wisdom. I was at a funeral on Friday. We drove to Norlandia to the funeral of an old friend of the family. And that was one of the most obvious things about the funeral, that what was said about him was he never had lots of money. He was a simple kind of guy. He loved his family, he loved his children, he loved his grandchildren. He loved the work that he did. And he was always ready to help others. There's a story told of a trucker in Norlandia for a load in the morning, sleeping out in his truck at night, and Kay sees him and says, "You can't sleep in that truck overnight. I got extra beds." It's wisdom. Perhaps that's why this guy died at 72 of a heart attack, and there were like 1,200 people at his funeral. What is the passage that we just read? What is that about? We are called to focus here on the contrast between the heroes of the world and the heroes of God. This woman is called a chayil. That's my best Hebrew accent. The word is normally translated in terms of the strength and might of those who have done mighty deeds. David's mighty men are called chayil. And we're told of how many each of them killed single-handedly. The Spirit of God calls this woman a chayil. And we are to be chayil. But it's not about killing. Our world is all crazy about superheroes. Captain America, the Hulk, Thor, Iron Man. And they're all walking, flying destroyers. And I'm not taking a shot at the movies. I like the storylines, by and large. I'm drawing attention to God's superheroes. Wisdom is providing for her family. She is a superhero. She's caring for the poor. She's teaching kindness. Her world is beautiful. Now, this whole poem, everything that I read, is what we call an acrostic. It's a poem. In the Hebrew, every verse here, or half verse, starts with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's a lot of, well, the Spirit of God was in the writer, helping to write a poem that just flowed and spoke so powerfully. Now this poem, as we read it, this poem is not about measuring up. This poem is about standing up before God and saying, "Use me, Lord. Use even me." And our theme is the Spirit praises a woman hero. And I want to look first at the simple fact that he praises her, or says she is to be praised, through her family and friends. And secondly, that she is praised for deeds of courage and power. So first of all, I want us to notice first that this woman receives considerable praise from others. We all want a good name. A good name is a good thing. It involves praise. Proverbs 22, verse 1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. But that doesn't mean that we spend our time defending our name, praising our name. Let your works praise you, not your arguments. This woman has a good name. She receives praise by others. She does not praise herself. Might say, well, she doesn't have to. That's the point. A wise person does not have to. In fact, a wise person is not even seeking praise from men. A wise person seeks praise from God. A wise person wants to hear in the end, "Well done, good and faithful servant," from God. What does the last verse of this poem mean? Let her works praise her in the gates. You know, that is leading us to look all the way to the judgment, because gates are about judgment. And there's 10 places in the Bible that remind us in the judgment, it will be according to what we have done. Let our works praise us. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we'll be judged according to what we've done. Revelation 22, according to our works. In fact, Jesus warns us that if we are seeking praise from men, we will not hear it from God at all. We will have received as much praise as we're going to get. Now, this is such a problem in our world. Our world is filled with pomp and pride. One of the things everyone seems to notice about Donald Trump is how much he boasts about himself. I don't need to go into how much is or is not true. The fact that he does it so much says so much. One of my biggest concerns about Facebook, not my favorite whipping boy, but it is something to think about. One of my biggest concerns about Facebook is how it encourages this. I do like some things about Facebook. It's got some good aspects. It lets me keep in touch with people, sometimes with people far away. But some things, it's all good. But it also encourages boasting. Here's me doing this. Here's me doing this. It's all about me, if we're not careful. Don't do that. It's a road you don't want to be on. And this praising can be very subtle, but just as lacking in wisdom. Sometimes we can talk, mainly to show off how much we know. Yes, I'm guilty. And ask God to help me. Sometimes we can just tell a story. But we're the hero and we tell it many times. Or we just drop names of the important people that we have been with. Many times. Because if I'm with an important person, that makes me somebody too. Self-praise is a problem, but it's a fool's game. And it costs us the praise of God. Proverbs 27, 1 and 2. Don't boast about tomorrow and what you're going to do. Let another man praise you, not your own mouth. 2 Corinthians 10, 11. Paul is boasting about his ministry. But what does Paul say as he boasts about his ministry? He says, let me keep being a fool for a little bit longer. You guys put up with fools so easily. Let me be a fool. Because I want to win you to Christ. But actually, I'll boast about my weakness. Because I think we boast in the Lord. Notice here, the woman who personifies wisdom does not praise herself. Because she doesn't have to. Well, whether it's because or not, but she doesn't have to. Her children rise up and praise her. Look at that. Her children rise up and praise her. So what does that mean? Well, it means that she has worked hard to provide for them. And she has also taught them. The picture of this woman is not one greedy for gain, but working hard for her family. But while she works hard for her family, she realizes also that if her children gain the whole world and lose their souls, she has done nothing. All is lost. Everything she hoped to gain. She has taught her children to know the Lord. Proverbs 1 verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. The rising up of the children shows them standing up in her presence. But you know, much more than that, it is them growing up in the faith that she has been teaching them to serve the Lord, to love the Lord, to honor Him, and to act wisely. That's a work that will praise Him. Her husband rises up to praise her. What does that mean? Well, there is an aspect of the children rising up by growing up. But the husband rising up means he gets up off his chair. He might be sitting in the gates of the city judging, but he gets up when his wife walks by. Without denying his calling in the city or his responsibility as head of the family. He's not sitting on her defending his position. He takes his hat off to her. Wisdom is supreme. But wisdom is personified here in a godly woman. We find here that a woman who fears the Lord ought to be praised by all. And in fact, her works themselves will be her praise in the ultimate sense. My mind went to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles. And Gentiles is variously understood here. It's Gentiles, but it's keep your conduct among unbelievers is probably a good way to understand that. Keep your conduct among unbelievers honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that He visits. Let's bring this back down to earth. One thing to keep in mind here is that as much as we fear the Lord, we ought to praise a wife or a mother. All women who fear the Lord, not just on Mother's Day. And not by empty words. Children, you should praise your mother. Both by words and by showing what you have learned from her. Husband, we should praise our wives and our mothers
by telling them, showing them what they've meant to us and what they do mean to us. And I don't say this because I do it so well. I say it because it's good. Because God has said it. It's all before us. It's a good thing. If you notice on the back, there's a... I'm trying to encourage that we are ready and willing to give good words to people for the good things that they do. And I know it can be over the top, but it's also an important part of blessing each other. And I wanted to mention there's a paper on the back table that Rising Above is doing a seminar shortly about self-esteem. And whenever I hear the word self-esteem, I cringe because I've seen so much bad psychology in the name of self-esteem. On the other hand, I know that encouraging each other and praising each other in Christ for good things is blessing to others. It strengthens us. It encourages us. It gives us strength. And it's my hope that I really have grown to appreciate Len at Rising Above. It's my hope that it will be a blessing, that they will encourage good words to each other. So today on Mother's Day too. Secondly, the Spirit praises a woman hero for deeds of courage and power. So we've seen that our praise should come from another, but praise for what? Well, deeds of courage, power. The woman, as I said, is a Kayin. She's strong, courageous, valiant, brave. And again, we have to understand what the Spirit of God wants us to understand. This is not just about a woman or women. It is wisdom's ways. It's about men too, all of us, made to be wise in the image of God. It can refer to how we behave on the battlefield. Although even there, it will not be about the body count. But it will be about fearing the Lord, even on the battlefield, even about in how we treat our enemies. There is a way that those who fear the Lord treat their enemies. And it takes courage. Strength. The woman, wisdom, is praise for deeds of courage and power. And notice again, they always begin with the fear of the Lord. They rise out of the fear of the Lord. And notice first that almost the first thing we see here is that they are sharply contrasted with charm and beauty. And this might be in some ways especially for women to note. Paul says that woman is the glory of man in 1 Corinthians 11, and it might be especially tempting for the woman to spend a lot of effort on outward charm and beauty. Paul in 1 Timothy 2 and Peter in 1 Peter 3, they find it necessary to warn women about the temptation to spend all kinds of money and time on their hair and makeup and clothes and drawing attention to their physical appearance and all those things. They are to adorn themselves instead with good deeds and a quiet spirit and open hands and a kind heart. But we pointed out that many understand this to be a personification of wisdom herself. And so that we see that this is wisdom for us all. And perhaps more so today than ever, men too have to be warned that charm is fleeting and beauty is vain. Fear the Lord. It does not mean that we dress in rags and talk only about Jesus' blood. This woman, she dressed sharp. See what it says about her. She knew how to dress. And she could talk about anything. But it means that we have to have the courage and the strength by the Spirit of God to do whatever our hands find to do. To do it with gladness and joy to the glory of the Lord. For blessing for all. How does this woman wisdom show that she fears the Lord? Is it by 2 hours of Bible study every day? This is not against Bible study and prayer. Perhaps we need more encouragement that Bible study and prayer needs to be part of our regular daily life. I'm not denying that. But again, I just want you to notice that the work that she does, the domestic work that she does, is described as valiant, that it needs strength. She is a hero of God. Not in terms of taking up the sword to kill. Men need to understand God's heroes are not in the army. Not even necessarily leading Bible studies. Although, that may be a good thing to do, and you may have been prepared to do that. One of the elders in the church I grew up in, he joined our church when he was about 75 years old. We got to know him there. And he was such an encouragement and strength to me. He had worked at General Motors on the line for more than 30 years and probably led a Bible study there all that time, every week. So, but that is not alone what honors God and what a hero of God does. There will be some who do, but God's hero does what his hands find to do. He does it with strength. He does it for blessing, for himself, his family, for others. He does it to the honor of God. He rejoices in it. Verse 17 and 19, you look at what is written there about the woman. It describes domestic work, but it actually shows her as a warrior. And then we think, well, Christ came preaching the kingdom of God. Yes. But perhaps we should note that a hammer can break a bone. But it takes deeds of kindness to break a heart. The kingdom of God is about cultivating the earth. It's about justice for the weak. It's about hospitals and schools where the name of God is lifted up. The name of Jesus Christ is honored. Let's notice more closely what is said of this woman who reveals wisdom to us, what she does. Again, I want to be careful with this. This is not a passage about proving that God says women should stay home and work. I've heard it used that way. It's not a proper usage of it. It's not answering that question. Learning from this passage today, even as it pertains to women, it might be a call to work to help pay the bills. If you're able, it might be remembering to have an eye on the bottom line. Be an encouragement to be industrious in every way. To shop well. Looking to the needs of those around you. She's the bearer of children. But as it pertains to wisdom itself, you do still see the picture close to home. But the home is the future of the world. And wisdom says that men, Jew, are not suited for office in the church if their families are not in order. Do not seek God. And so, this is just as much about the kind of men we must be. I want to mention just a couple of things that are quite dominant here about how we all are to be. A woman of noble character, who can find it? She's worthy of confidence. She brings good, not harm. She speaks with wisdom. She laughs at tomorrow. And indeed, it might seem that she laughs at tomorrow because she has provided for herself so well, but actually, she laughs at tomorrow ultimately because she fears the Lord. And this is for all of us. What a harmonious home life we will have where this is who we are. Where we are all of noble character. Men don't want to live on the corner of a roof because the wife is quarrelsome. Wives are to be loved and cared for as the weaker partner, as Peter says. I know some women today would think, how dare you call me the weaker partner? I'm sorry. Most women better watch out. And even in terms of your emotional makeup, most men are different and not as easily hurt. Men, husbands, we are to live considerately with our wives, understanding all these things. Besides everything, even in terms of the laughing about tomorrow too, we are to be in our homes an encouragement. We were just talking yesterday about the difference. One of the things about the guy that whose funeral we were at, he was always so upbeat, so encouraging. Things could be looking really rough and he'd encourage. And then talk about somebody else who we were talking with, a good friend. And you know, my dad is always so down. He's always so negative, always so... You know, wisdom laughs at tomorrow. And I need to hear about this more often because I can get down sometimes too. Wisdom laughs at tomorrow. This is the glory of the fear of the Lord. And we all have some work to do. Second thing here is we see that she is industrious. She's industrious over the top, almost, it seems. Scary, almost, it seems, if we don't look at this in the spirit. Now, she is on a mission every day. I think I'm glad my wife's not that much on a mission. But maybe that's because I'm lazy. I don't know. She's up before light. Keeps her lamp on at night. And that's a lot like my mother was, actually. She was milking. We were all in school. She's got 8 kids. We're all in school. My dad is gone. She's up before light milking the cows, coming in and helping us get breakfast and get off to school. And at night, when it's dark, she's knitting and sewing because there was no money for clothes. In the strength of God, amazing things can be done. Her mind is on her work. She's organizing. She's an entrepreneur. She's sewing. Because she has a heart that fears the Lord, she is so diligent in labor, she's also able and willing to help the poor. You know, think about how many things the Proverbs have been saying about being lazy and slothful. 14 verse 1, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish one tears hers down with her own hands. That's both sloth and the wicked tongue at work there. 18 verse 9, the one who is slack in his work is brother to the one who destroys. 10 verse 4, lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring him wealth. And some of us will think, wow, I don't have the energy and health for that. I'm sick all the time. And that will indeed be true for some of us. And beyond our control. It will be true for most of us sometimes. But it is for this which we pray. Toward this which we strive. And we don't even ask God for help for the sake of health by itself. Do you know that if you're asking for health for the sake of health itself, James has something to say about that. He says you don't have because you don't pray. And when you pray, you don't get it because you ask so that you can get what you get. You can use what you get for your own pleasures. And so our prayers, even for health, need to be asking God to strengthen us so that we can serve Him. Bless each other. So many warnings here, calls here, encouragement here. But even the thing about teaching here. Because she fears the Lord and she's diligent in her labor, she's not either a gossip or a busybody. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. That's what it speaks about of her tongue. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. You know, evil needs a replacement. Always. Don't steal, but work so you've got something left over. needs a replacement.
Don't curse, but bless.
Use your tongue, but not for cursing, for blessing. In this book of Proverbs, there's over 100 verses about the use of the tongue for good or evil. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The only way to guard our tongue and to be among the wise is to follow the example of this valiant woman, wisdom, to live in courage and strength and joy and hope by the fear of the Lord. So I want you to notice again the bottom line. The bottom line is actually living in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord that lets us laugh at tomorrow. It's not even first about whether there's enough food in our house for the winter. It's about living honestly and industriously before God and being able to say, though the earth give way and the mountains be cast into the sea, though the province burn up, and I don't say that lightly, we will rejoice in God. There's wisdom. There's the fear of the Lord working out in our lives. And we need to encourage each other in that. Strengthen each other in that. There is a stream. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Brothers and sisters, let us lounge by that river on this Mother's Day. Amen.